Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. And we're going to have a special message this morning on the subject, Consider Christ. And I want you to stand with me as we turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 12. And we're going to tweak our sound just a little bit more, fellas. Maybe turn this down just slightly. It seems like during the holidays, the sound systems start doing what they want to do, but we're getting it just about right, and thank you for that. Hebrews chapter 12. I do hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving service. We have a great day planned today, and I hope that you'll plan to be here at 5 o'clock tonight. We have a guest speaker, Brother Hightower, who I just saw. Brother Hightower just got here. I'm going to go ahead and preach the first service, and we'll have you preach the next service. And I'm excited about the service tonight. Brother Hightower has been flying all night from Michigan to get here, spent the night in Salt Lake City. So we're going to let you rest just a little bit, and we'll talk after this service and probably have you preach at the next service. But I got the text at 2 o'clock this morning, I think it was. And so I've been rearing up ever since then. So looking forward to sharing this message. But I trust that you are prepared in your heart for what God has in store for us as we enter into this holiday season. And I believe the Lord wants me to preach this message today from Hebrews chapter 12. How many of you love Hebrews 12? I'll tell you what, to me it's such a pinnacle of the New Testament, and I want you to read it with me, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and actually 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll pray and get right into this message together. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. I've chosen for the text today verse number 3, and I want you to read it with me, because many of us over the course of the last year or so have had restless minds. There's been a lot to think about. There's been a lot going on in our world. And so in the light of that, I want you to read verse 3 with me all together. Ready? Begin. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you would give the renewing of minds today through the Word of God, through the meditation on the Lord Jesus. May this service be a time of reflection and meditation upon your work, your enduring work, the work that you accomplished on our behalf. And as we consider what you did, may we be renewed in our own minds today, Lord. For we know that you have a plan and that you have a desire even for this service. And we ask that it would be fulfilled. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word consider means to judge, to value, or even to meditate. Meditation is not wrong. Sometimes we refer to meditation in the sense of some kind of Eastern religion or some type of transcendental meditation. Meditation is not wrong so long as the focus is right. And for us, the focus is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible commands us to consider him, to meditate on the Lord. And I trust that somehow in the next 30 days that you'll have opportunity to meditate on the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, we do not take the time to meditate or to consider as we should. And many times in making decisions, Christians are busy and hasty and just quickly doing what they feel is the right thing at a given moment. And we do not ponder as Joseph of old when he heard the message of the angel regarding Mary. He pondered those things in his heart. And God is calling us this morning to ponder, to consider, to meditate on what Jesus did for us in this cruel world that he visited for 33 and a half years. Considering Christ has a great renewing effect. When one considers the cross of Christ, when one considers the finished work of Christ, it can put many other things into perspective. It can help us to realize that God is still in control. And I want to share with you this morning three reasons to consider Christ today, and three reasons to consider Christ every day as we begin each day with Him. I believe, first of all, considering Christ causes us to renew our focus. It causes us to renew our focus. Many Christians today are out of focus. They're making decisions with blurry eyes and blurry minds. And for us, the way to find focus, the way to view this world is not through the newspaper and it's not through the television, but it is through the will of God and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Considering Christ will help us to renew our focus. And here in the text, we are called to focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for so many others that have gone before us and so many that have given us good examples from the standpoint of their walk with God. I think of Hebrews 11:36, which says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented." I think we should often thank God for the lineage of our faith and for those that sacrificed so much so that we might have the Word of God and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for men that have invested in my life, and thank the Lord for some of the great men that have preached in our church, Dr. Tom Malone and Dr. Lee Robertson come to mind, Dr. Curtis Hudson and so many others. But there is no greater example to look to than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. To look to the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want you to think about this. The Bible says, consider Him. Consider Him with me this morning. Consider Christ, who is eternal God. Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about Christ, if you would, for a moment. He is eternal God. He said before Abraham was, "I am." And He is sovereign God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 44:6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside Me there is no God." And we must take time, not just on Sunday morning, but every morning, to look to Him, to consider Him, consider who He is and what He has done for us. We focus on the person of Christ this morning. He is high and lifted up, eternal God. We focus on the position of Christ this morning. And when I say position, I'm mindful of the fact that He is seated at the right hand of God the Father this morning. Notice in verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." In John 19, as Jesus hung on the cross, in verse 30, you'll recall those famous words, "It is finished." By the way, how many of you are thankful for that? Amen. The sacrifice for our sin was accomplished. And the Lord Jesus is now seated in the highly favored position at the right hand of God the Father, Ephesians 1:20, which we wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and that every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is high and lifted up and highly favored. He is our mediator, seated at the right hand of God the Father, 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And I don't know about you this morning, I'm thankful that I have a mediator. I'm thankful that there is a go-between, someone to whom I can come and speak to and call upon His name and pray through His power and because of His sacrifice. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the story of the little boy that was standing outside of Buckingham Palace, and he was looking so longingly into the palace. He wanted so greatly to go through the gate and see the palace. And time again, he tried to get inside. He tried to sneak in different ways, and the guards constantly rebuffed him and told him he couldn't go in. And then one day, as he was standing there, a kindly gentleman walked by, and that little boy looked up at him, and that gentleman looked down at that little boy, and he extended his hand, and that little boy walked with that gentleman all the way through the gates, all the way through the door and into Buckingham Palace. He had a grand tour of the entire palace, received a treat or two, and was sent on his way as happy as you could possibly imagine. What was the difference? The difference was the one who extended his hand was the Prince of Wales, inviting him to come in to Buckingham Palace. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ extended his scarred hand to me and offered to me a way to enter into heaven for all of eternity. And I want to consider him this morning. I want to consider those scarred hands. I want to consider his place at the right hand of God the Father. It renews my focus on everything else. It helps other things to be not so big and not so great. It helps me to realize how blessed I really am to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. You see, considering Christ, it renews your focus on the most important relationship of all. But notice, secondly, considering Christ will refresh your spirit. It will refresh your spirit. You see, we're oftentimes in running this race prone to weariness, sometimes prone to discouragement, needing the renewing of our mind and the refreshing of our spirit. And I want you to see how refreshment comes by looking at the cross. I want you to notice, first of all, that we can be refreshed by His example. By His example. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Now, as we consider Christ, we not only consider His person, His attributes, His eternality, His impeccability. We consider His sinless nature, all of these great attributes, but we also must consider the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He endured the cross. Jesus, from the cross of Calvary, could have called 12 legions of angels to come and take Him away. 10,000 angels could have been there at His beck and call, and yet He died upon that cross vicariously for you, for me. I think of what He experienced for us, the false trial at the high priest's house. I think of the denial of Peter, how he said, "I don't know the man. I'm not one of his." Jesus knew that would take place. I think of the beating at the high priest's house, and when Jesus would not answer, how that they placed a sack over His head and hit Him with their hands and fists, and how that they spat upon Him, and how they plucked His beard. I think of the trial before Pilate, how the Jews made such false accusations, and Pilate then sending Him along to Herod, and how as this continually went on, that from time, from each step to the next, the Lord Jesus was insulted, was beaten, was persecuted. Herod's men mocked Him and put a purple robe upon Him. And then He was flogged. Pilate had Jesus scourged with a cat of nine tails and ultimately crucified upon the cross. He was stripped of His clothing, and they drove the nails through His hands and through His feet. And for 6 hours He hung upon that cross, having to somehow push Himself up just to get air, just to be able to breathe that next breath. Many times ligaments would tear and muscles were strained and the body was broken. You see, no matter what your question today, the cross is always God's last argument. Sometimes people say, "God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, don't you care about me?" And when you consider the cross of Christ, the answer comes back, "Yes, I care for you. I gave my life for you." And so the nails of the cross could not hold Him there. Thank God He resurrected on that third day. And yet when we consider the cross, we're mindful of the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. He endured the cross. But I want you to see something else. The Bible says in verse 3, "Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself." I think of the day in which we live. My heart was saddened time and again to see the hatred toward the very holiday of Thanksgiving this past few days. People literally so full of hate, refusing to even eat a turkey because they might identify with those terrible, terrible pilgrims. And it's not the pilgrims they hate. It's the faith of those Puritans. It's the God of the Puritans. You see, the contradiction of sinners is something that we will endure in these days. But Jesus endured it first. Does that not encourage your heart this morning? Amen. Consider him. He endured the contradiction of sinners. You say, but Pastor, you don't know how I'm referred to being a Christian in the workplace with the convictions that I had. Well, how about this? This perfectly sinless Son of God was referred to as a wine bibber, as the friend of sinners. Satan tempted him. The Pharisees attempted to stone him. The thief on the cross accused him and belittled him, the one that did not believe. Psalm 69 and 20 tells us, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. The contradiction of sinners continues today. And we see oftentimes that Christians are belittled and sometimes lose opportunity, and sometimes their faith is attacked. It was a few years ago that there was a bill that was passed in Congress to recognize Christmas and the Christian faith, literally a bill to that end. There were 9 congressional leaders who voted against the bill. They had voted a few weeks before to recognize Ramadan, but they refused to vote to recognize Christmas. There are people with that much hatred in their heart. We're not even going to recognize Thanksgiving. We're not going to recognize Christmas. And when you're surrounded in a culture by people that are becoming more and more hateful, it is so important to come to verse 3 to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. We can be refreshed by remembering that he was there before us, suffering for our sin, refreshed by his example, and we can be refreshed by his encouragement to us this morning. Jesus is the stimulant to our soul, the one who encourages us to keep on in this race, to keep running the race that is set before us. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He can feel our infirmities this morning. He understands the burdens that we bear. Isaiah 53 and 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yet he endured all of this for you and for me. Spurgeon was speaking to the workers of his church, and as they had this workers' meeting, he said, now let it be so with you that you may be kept from growing weary. If the Sunday school, a class, seems unmanageable, if the boys cannot be taught, if the girls seem giddy, if in the little village station the hearers seem so dull, so inattentive, so careless, and so forgetful, if in any other sphere of labor you do not seem to be appreciated, but meet with very serious rebuffs, never mind. These are nothing compared with the contradiction which Jesus Christ endured, and yet he swerved never, and therefore swerve not you. You see, the Lord Jesus has suffered before us, and the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40 and 30, even the youth shall faint and grow weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, I want to refresh you. I want to encourage you when you're weary and when you're fainting. And sometimes in our minds, we can faint. Sometimes we can grow weary and we wonder, really, God, what is happening today? I was thinking as these last several days, there were several different challenging news stories that many of us saw. And sometimes it's just as if some Christians are kind of just throwing in the towel and just saying, you know what? I'm just going to live for myself. I'm just going to find an easier way, an easier place. Let me just encourage you this morning. Look to the cross and trust God anyways. Consider Christ this morning. You say, but oh, there's so much stuff. I know, but consider Christ and trust God anyway. Many today are rewriting history and choosing anger over gratitude. Let's give thanks to God anyways. News of COVID-19 variants causes fear and increases the government's desire for control and pharmaceutical companies' opportunity to exploit. Let's trust God anyways. Unpunished criminals exploit the policies of Marxist district attorneys and some want to defund our police. Let's encourage a law enforcement officer anyways. Critical race theorists want you to apologize for your ethnic origin and their perception of your heart. remind you this morning, friend, that we're created in God's image. Let's love others anyways. Religious organizations are leaving the message of Christ's atonement to preach a woke philosophy. Let's preach Christ anyways. Let's consider Christ. Let's remember that he endured the contradiction of sinners. And let's follow his example today. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what I'm saying this morning is, you don't have to run and you don't have to hide. You can trust him. Jesus is the one who has made us. His heavens declare his glory. The firmament show his handiwork. You can trust Christ today. No means of measure can define his love. No far-seeking telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. You can trust him. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out a blessing. He is eternally steadfast, imperially powerful, and impartially merciful. He is the centerpiece of civilization, the Son of God, the sinner's Savior, and you can trust him. He can satisfy all of your needs. He supplies strength for the weak. He's there when you are tempted and tried. He sympathizes and sees. He guards and he guides. He helps and he heals. He delivers and he defends. And you can trust him. He is the master of the mighty, the captain of the conquerors, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislators, the governor of the governors, the king of kings, and the lord of lords. And you can trust him. His promises are sure. His life is matchless. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His yoke is easy. His burden is light, and you can trust him this morning. And listen, friend, consider Christ this morning. Consider the one that endured the contradiction of sinners and trust him again and again. We must keep trusting our Lord. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Consider Christ, and your mind will be strengthened. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, consider Christ this morning. For he has considered you. When he was on that cross, he had you and he had me in his heart and on his mind. He was considering us. And when you get down or discouraged or you feel the contradiction of sinners around you, look to the cross. God's cross, the cross of Christ, will always bring us through. Consider Christ, the Bible tells us. Meditate on Christ. Remember Christ. Judge and value what he has done for you. It will renew your focus. It will renew your spirit. And may I say finally this morning, it will revive our purpose. It will revive our purpose. Billy Sunday, the great baseball evangelist of yesteryear, said, more men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. More men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. I believe today that God is calling us not only to survive, but to thrive and to have a greater purpose as we live in the day in which we live. And I want to share with you why I say that. First of all, we have a heavenly purpose. Notice this in verse 2. The Bible tells us about our Lord. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, notice this, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, who for the joy that was set before him. Now here we see the motivation of our Lord. What was the joy that was set before him? And can this be our motivation? And the answer is yes. The joy that was set before him was the joy of glorification with his Father. In other words, he kept looking to that moment when he would be with the Father, when he would be in the presence of the Father once again in the glorified state. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or our joy or our crown of rejoicing? Is it a promotion at work? Is it a new car? Is it another house? Is it that all these wackos would stop saying bad things that bother us? I mean, what is it that will bring us joy? And can I tell you, the only way that we'll ever have joy in this world is to have that inner peace and joy that comes from the Lord Jesus himself. And Paul says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He said, you know, Paul said, what makes me joyous and happy is to think about being with the Lord and with fellow believers in the presence of the Lord. I'm just going to keep looking to that day when we are all there with the Lord. You say, why do we sing so many songs about heaven here at this church? Because that's what we're looking for as we consider everything else that's going on in this world. And this is what Jesus teaches us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Those that Paul had won to the Lord, that was something he looked forward to, was being in heaven with them. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says it this way, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hey, you know what? When I look at the cross, it reminds me that everything on this planet is temporal, but Jesus is eternal, and heaven is eternal, and my life with Jesus will be eternal one day. And that's what really matters, is being faithful to my Savior while I'm here on this temporal earth. You know, sometimes we mourn things on this planet, almost acting like this is our forever home. Hey, listen, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Come on, right? Thank God for that. This world is not our home. That's why we must consider Christ. We have a heavenly purpose. When we consider Christ, we'll be mindful of that heavenly purpose. But I want you to see also, we have a hopeful purpose. Notice again in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You see, because Jesus endured the cross, we have the hope of heaven as well. Because Jesus Christ was willing to suffer and to die, we this morning have a hope in our hearts that one day we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we don't want to just go through the motions of Christian living and go through the motions of church attendance and all of these different things. We should consider Christ in all that we do. We should lift up our hearts and lift up our eyes to consider that Jesus Christ has gone before us. We should consider Christ in our service. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, as you serve the Lord Jesus, consider him along the way. Remember that he humbled himself. Pride is probably our most besetting of sins, and yet Jesus shows us how to serve. Don't worry about whether you're noticed or whether your idea is listened to. It's not about that. It's about serving Christ. It's about being like Christ in this world. Consider Christ in your serving this week. Consider Christ in your singing today. Consider him. It's not necessarily about how you sound. How many of you are thankful for that? It's about who you're singing to. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Consider the Lord when you serve him this week, and consider the Lord as you sing for him this week, and consider Christ in your stewardship, and as you're considering your giving, and as you're considering this matter of missions or whatever the case might be, think about what the Lord Jesus did for us. Consider him, the Bible says. Consider him that endured such contradiction. Consider Christ in your serving, in your singing, in your stewardship. Hey, can I challenge you this morning? Consider Christ in your soul winning this week. What would Jesus do about that unsaved neighbor? What would Jesus do about that unsaved partner? The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, it's a wonderful thing to share with them maybe your favorite sports team or maybe some opinion you have about current events. That's all good and fine. But if we don't share Christ, then we're not considering Him today, you see. Consider Him. May we, in these next 4 weeks, despite all of the crazy news in this world and all of the busyness of our schedules, may we remember this verse number 3, to consider Him. Because doing that will renew our focus, it will renew our spirit, and it will really renew our purpose for why we are here in this world. So let's read verse 3 again, shall we? Hebrews 12, 3. Ready? Begin. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. May we have a fresh vision of the One who came to this earth and suffered and died for our sin.